Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today, going to be talking about something, doing a solo episode, talking about how I think a lot of people misunderstand, you may have guessed it from the title, taxes, what a massive benefit they can play in your business, how they really should change, how you should be thinking about the psychology of taxes, investing in your business, spending outside of your business, in a way that you may not have considered before. It's something that's kind of shifted for me over the years. I think it's misunderstood. So we're going to be diving into that, especially how you can save. You know, obviously you can, taxes are a big thing, and I'm not a, you know, I should probably put the standard disclaimer here to cover my tail. This isn't tax advice, but it's just what's worked for me and how I think about this. But I think there's a lot of room to, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about taxes and you know, how to most effectively think about them with your business and helping grow your business, and also think about, you know, pulling money out as well. So anyway, we're going to dive into that in just a second. So stick around. Looking for help to get the most out of your Shopify store? Don't waste time on theory or untested advice. Instead, download Zipify apps and copy one of the world's most successful Shopify stores. Zipify was created by my friend Ezra Firestone. And you probably know Ezra because he's been a guest on this podcast many times. But he's also the owner of multiple 8- and 9-figure e-commerce brands, including a $175 million store he built from scratch. And he's created 2 Shopify apps so you can leverage the same strategies he's using to scale his stores. One-Click Upsell is already the number one upsell app for over 18,000 Shopify stores, including brands like Tushy, Dr. Squash, Buffy, Jones Soda, and Victoria Beckham. And it's so effective that the average One-Click Upsell user boosts their total revenue by 10 to 15% practically overnight. And then there's Zipify Pages. Pages is the most user-friendly landing page builder on Shopify, and it's stacked with over 70 marketing templates so you can quickly generate leads, launch promotions, and drive more sales. And since both apps are tested first on Ezra's own 8- and 9-figure stores, you know they actually work. You can try out One-Click Upsell and Zipify Pages for free at Zipify.com. That's Zipify.com to try both out for free. Today's episode is brought to you by the E-Commerce Fuel private community for 7- and 8-figure owners. We have an amazing, vibrant forum where you can connect and get answers to your questions, but probably one of the biggest long-term values is our events, where you can build deep connections with other owners. We have ECF Live, our annual summit, where all of our members and attendees are vetted versus, you know, a lot of e-commerce events where you have zillions of people trying to sell you stuff. We have adventures, great talks, curated dinners. Ecom Camp, which is our annual event for 8-figure store owners and smaller meetups and dinners throughout the year. So if you're looking to connect with people just like you, people in e-commerce obsessed with their business who can talk about it for hours, our community is the place to do it. So if that sounds interesting, you can find out more information and apply at ecommercefuel.com. So I got to start with a little bit of a throwback to my childhood. I have to give my mom all the credit for the entrepreneurial bug that she planted in myself and my brother and us as kids. You know, grew up in Idaho, which snow in the wintertime. And anytime we got a meaningful amount of snow, especially after a certain age, my mom would bundle us up, kick us out the door, say, don't come back until you got $20 in your pockets. And out the door we would go. And if we tried to come back, which sometimes we did because we didn't want to be out in the cold, you know, we'd hear that little click of the lock and there we were. Unless we had, you know, some coin we could show, well, enjoy the elements for a while. And it was good. And whether it was because she wanted us to actually develop some entrepreneurial, you know, skills and ambition, or whether she just needed some peace and quiet from 3 kids in the house for a couple hours, myself as the main instigator of trouble, which is very much that might have been the primary driver looking back. It was effective. Went out and, you know, made some money and remember coming back as king of the world with $10 or $20 in my pocket as a, you know, young kid. One thing my mom always said, and it always annoyed me at first, but I've come to appreciate it more and more as I got older. And as I had that hard-earned snow shoveling and lawn mowing money, about as cliche as you can get, but that's the path I took. Anytime I went to buy something, she'd be like, hey, Andrew, are you sure you want to buy that? And I'd be like, yeah, it's $10. And she's like, no, it's not. That's $14.50. I was like, well, what do you mean? She's like, well, when you think about, you have to earn $14.50, then you have to pay taxes on that. And then you have $10 left over. And that, so it's not really $10. You have to earn way more than that to be able to afford it on an after-tax basis. And she drove home this point for me by, as a probably 12 or 13 year old kid, making me file a 1040 on my cash earnings from my lawn mowing business. Probably made $3,000 or $4,000. I think it made $3,000 a summer. I ended up paying somewhere between, I don't know, $700 to $1,000 in taxes. I think the tax codes maybe changed a little bit since then, but paid like at least 25%, maybe a little bit more on $3,000 of earnings because she wanted to drive this home to me. She also wanted me to drive home just how expensive life is and you know, taxes are a reality of it. So anyway, that's something that in me, that was ingrained in me really early, and I've tried to carry through all of my business career. And I've kind of got 4 points on taxes and the implications and the psychology of them today. I think the first one, and this is the most important one, is you should always be thinking about everything as an after-tax expense. Of course, as a consumer, like I mentioned out of the gates, you want to buy a new car, that's, you know, anything outside your business, always be thinking about that. You know, this thing doesn't cost, if you're looking at a $50,000 car, it's not $50,000, it's $70,000 or whatever your tax rate is. We'll get into that in a minute. But I think it's really important to think about. If you earn $100,000, you really don't earn $100,000. You're probably earning something, you know, probably more like $70,000 ballpark. That's really important to think about. And I think oftentimes we forget that, but it's the reality of the resources that we have. But the flip side of that, of course, is when you are making investments in your business, and this is not any kind of massive revolution. People, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you know this. The government actually is subsidizing you to invest in your business. And you should think about every purchase you make in your business on an after-tax basis as well. So just recently, just got a big quote for an ECF rebrand because we're going to be doing our logo is so outdated. There's so much branding I'd love to do and kind of a refresh. I'll talk about that in a different episode. But yeah, it was a big ticket, like upper five figures, low six in terms of everything is done, a very expensive investment. But when I started thinking about it on an after-tax basis, the price after tax to me is dramatically lower. And so it made it much easier for me to weigh the benefits of that rebrand, thinking about it on an after-tax basis. So you should be doing that with every single purchase in your business. Don't just think, hey, this is a write-off. So if you're looking at $100,000 investment and you know your marginal tax rate is 30%, don't think of it as $100,000. Think of it as $70,000. For some reason, it's much more powerful to think about in the actual dollar amounts you're spending because your brain works that way versus actually just as a write-off. If you think of it as just as a write-off in general, you think of it as free money. And that's not the case. You're still spending a certain amount of money on this, even on an after-tax basis. So try to think about everything in dollar terms after tax. So point number one, always think about everything as an after-tax expense or an after-tax investment. Number two, it's really important to understand the nuances around your effective tax rate and your marginal tax rate, because these make a big, big difference in how you calculate those numbers. So effective tax rate, this is your average tax rate. It's pretty much how much you have made. Well, let me step back. It's how much you paid in total taxes divided by how much your income was for the business. And that's your effective tax rate. So, you know, let's say you make $400,000 and you pay $100,000 in taxes, your effective tax rate's 25%. But this can be very misleading, especially the more you make, because at least in the US, you've got a tax rate that gets increasingly higher the more you make. So it's really important to understand your marginal tax rate. And your marginal tax rate is the tax rate you spend on each incremental dollar. So when you're paying taxes, a lot of times you're going to have a bunch of probably likely deductions. You know, maybe you have mortgage, maybe you've got dependents, maybe you have some charitable giving, all these things, that it reduces your taxable income. When you're thinking about, should I make this investment or should I not? Should I work more or should I not? All these kind of things. What you really want to focus on is on the marginal tax rate, because those incremental dollars, your average effective tax rate doesn't apply. Your marginal tax rate does. So, you know, your marginal tax rate in the US maxes out at 37%. You know, if you're doing, I think it's maybe ballpark about $500,000 married couples. So anything above that, if you're fortunate enough or have worked hard enough to be in that category, probably a mix of both, then everything you think about, you should be thinking about that on your federal level and your state level. And if you're in California, New York, your marginal tax rate could be, you know, 50%. Or so, which is crazy. And so that is the That's the rate you should be measuring all those incremental purchases or investments against. Hey, Andrew here, and a quick aside to introduce you to Sam, the owner of ParkerBaby.com, where they sell baby products. Sam's a great guy, a family-focused entrepreneur, has four kids, and despite running a very meaningful business, carves out time to spend a ton of time with them. It's a very cool way he runs his life and business. And just a quick little snapshot about his experience with E-commerce Fuel, our private vetted community for 7- and 8-figure store owners.
The events have just been a huge value add to me personally and professionally, and certainly for our business, just being around like-minded people, growth-minded people who go through a lot of the same struggles that we do, and a lot of people who have been through the different phases of business that we are going through now, and kind of using that as an opportunity to get ideas from people who've been through all this.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their 7- or 8-figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show. So that's really important to understand. And if you don't know, dive into your tax return, call your CPA, geek out with them about that. Try to maybe, you know, crack a delicious beverage to make the discussion a little less painful and boring. But it's super important to know. The other thing to understand the nuance around taxes and tax rates is not just on the tax side, but on understanding the difference between different types of income and how they are taxed. So for example, if you think about interest income, you take that money, you put it in one of those sweet high yield savings accounts paying 5%, you know, just money falling from the heavens relative to a couple of years ago, that's going to be taxed at your ordinary income rates, like your marginal income rate. So, and it could be anywhere, you know, it could go up as high as, you know, 50% state and federal. If you look at stocks, as long as you hold them long-term, the dividends from public stocks and the capital gains from stocks, again, as long as you hold them for a year, those are taxed at capital gains rates, which are going to be, you know, anywhere from 0 to 20, 22%, probably 22% on the high side for people who would otherwise be in that 50% tax category. So massive difference. If you look at a 5% yield on that income in the high yield checking account versus a, you know, let's say a 7 or 8% yield or maybe a 10% yield on stocks long-term, you can't just compare the yields. You got to compare the difference in tax rates as well, because those stocks are so much more tax advantaged. And there's a bunch of other things like that. It's just super important to think about that. Again, going back to point number one, think about everything as an after-tax expense or investment. Number three, the more money you make, the more sense it makes to invest. So a lot of times people say that it makes a ton of sense to invest early on in your business, to pour everything back into your business. And I have some nuanced thoughts on this. Sometimes it really does. If you are in an inventory business and you are growing like gangbusters, and you have the hot new amazing toy that everyone in America wants, and you know that if you just get those POs out the door, you get the inventory, you can sell those at 80% margin and pretty much turn your, you know, turn $20 into $100 in revenue. Do that all day long. Invest everything back into the business, right? Like sometimes it makes a lot of sense. I also know that when you have a lot of money available that you leave in the business, sometimes you look for suboptimal ways to invest it. I also know that when you are making less money, your incremental tax rate is going to be lower. And also, I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but one thing like Roman Khan, again, he just was so eloquent about how he put this at ECF Live this year, that it's possible to make money with your business and pull it out and set it aside while growing the enterprise value of your business versus plowing everything back in. You're able to take some of the chips off the table as you go. I've seen in my own life, I've seen in other entrepreneurs' life, when we're in the middle of massive success with a business or just traction and growth, we tend to think that's going to last forever. Sometimes it doesn't. And so I think I'm a big fan of at least taking some chips off the table as you go, unless you are in a scenario where you know with a high degree of certainty that you're going to be, that money is going to have a, you know, 2, 3, 4x payoff at a high probability. All that saying, as you get bigger, I guess my point with that was when you're not making as much, your tax rate is lower. And so you're able to pull money out and set it aside at a lower tax rate. Again, kind of controversial and nuanced take, and I know there's some you know, this is not black and white, but something to think about. The more money you make, the more money, the more sense it makes to invest. If 50%, heck, if 35%, 40%, 50% of the money you are making is going to the government, is going somewhere else, is something you're never going to see again, then it makes a ton of sense to give raises to your teams. It makes a ton of sense to make those bigger investments. It makes more sense to give money away, to do things, because all of those things, that money is likely going somewhere where that 50% rake is not going to be applied, or it's going to be applied at a much lower rate. So if your employees are, let's say they're paying their, you know, their overall tax rate is going to be 20%, you're paying 50%. It makes a lot of sense to be more generous than you otherwise would be, because that 30% is surplus that's going to them versus just the government in general. So I think that's something that's really important to think about. The more you make, the more it makes sense to invest in your business, to give, and to be generous. And then my last point here, and this one kind of goes just with, and the longer I have been in e-commerce and entrepreneurship and with e-commerce fuel, the more important I'm thinking, the more I'm thinking about, you know, having, how do you balance deep business ambition with also a really rich, amazing life outside of business, with family, with health, with relationships, with your faith, with all these other things. And I think this is important to think about. The more you make, the more you should emphasize the trade-offs you have for work. Imagine if you come into the office every day, and imagine you had someone there who their sole job was to just make you 25% less productive. You'd get into the flow about things and kind of bug you, or they would like kind of schedule blocks of time where you weren't able to work and had to do busy work. Or also on the flip side, imagine if someone said, hey, for every hour you work, if you want to trade that, I'll give you 1.25 hours of other time outside of work. And this is effectively what happens as your tax rate increases the more money you make. Because if you're paying, and again, this is kind of a pretty rudimentary analysis because we're using money as the only measurement here. But you know, if you go from 25% tax rate to 50% tax rate, effectively, you're having your efficiency in terms of generating income is going down. So anyway, long way of saying, I think the more money you make, the more sense it makes to think about how much time you're working versus putting other things in your life. Because if you trade an hour for work at that 25% rate versus a 50% rate for an hour of pleasure, effectively your hour of work is way less valuable because you're paying more taxes at that higher tax rate. So a big caveat here is if you're trying to grow your business, scale it and sell it in, you know, say 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that is, this does not apply, because you're going to be, the value of your business is going to be measured based on the how much, you know, of pre-tax earnings you're generating as a business. So if you're thinking about trying to scale quickly, sell this thing, completely disregard everything I said. You're playing a different game. If you're in a business where you want to stick around for a while, you love what you do, you want to build something that lasts, you're planning on being here for a while, then this is something that's really important to think about. And I think it really makes sense a lot when you start getting into those higher tax rates. Finally, and this is one that I added at the last minute, but I think it's important. Point five, do your best to minimize your taxes, to think about how you're spending your time and your money and your investments and your expenditures carefully. But then when you have to pay your taxes, write your checks and stop whining. I know someone who every time tax time comes around, there's this black cloud that goes over their head and they get grumpy. Their family notices it. You know, you see them on a week and just random week, ask them how they're doing, and they bring this up. They're so upset they have to write these checks. And I get, partially, I understand a little bit of that. Like, I have some issues with how the government spends my money. I would do things differently in a lot of cases. But a few things, like, you can't control this. One, so don't let it completely derail you. Two, if you're writing checks to the government, it means you're making money. And the bigger checks you're writing in general, the more money you're making, which is a great thing. Entrepreneurs, we as entrepreneurs are some of the most taxed, if not the most tax advantaged class in, at least I'm going to speak for America. The amount of benefits and write-offs and perks we get in the tax code are phenomenal. And it's also speaking to the US, but probably the case for a lot of Western nations. If you live here in the US, you live in a country where a lot of other entrepreneurs throughout the world would kill to be able to live, to operate, to access this market, to have some of the rules of law here that we have to operate a business here. And so anyway, all that said, do your best to minimize taxes. Think about it carefully, but don't be that guy or gal that when tax time comes, everyone knows that you're upset and grumpy about it. Write the check, move on with your life, and be thankful we got an opportunity to make some awesome, you know, run an amazing business in a country like this. So quick recap. One, always think about everything as an after-tax expense. Two, understand the nuances around taxes and your tax rates. If you don't know that effective or marginal rate, find out this week and then start applying that so you can think really clearly about these things. Understand that the more you make, the more it makes sense to invest and to give. Start to think about the trade-offs between work and your non-work hours spent, that the more you make, the more it may make sense to maybe, you know, work a little bit less, or at least consider how that impacts your decisions with how you spend your time. And then finally, do your best to minimize your taxes. And then when you have to write your check, move on, and don't whine about it. So I hope this is a slightly more nuanced, or at least a little bit of a different take than what you've probably heard out there about taxes. Yeah, a little bit of a, not the sexiest topic in the world, but like super important. And I don't know, I'm a finance geek. I still think it's kind of fun to talk about. I probably should admit that, but it's super important, interesting topic. And hopefully it saves you a little bit of coin and maybe heartache in this coming year. That's going to do it for this week. A big thank you to OneClick Upsell, who offers incredible upsell software to get more from every single customer and increase your average order value on your site. To make more money from the customers you already have, check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. And if you own a 7 or 8 figure store, you really should be a part of our private community and forums here at eCommerce Fuel, where you can connect with over 1,200 store owners just like you. We're so confident it'll be a game changer that we offer a 10x ROI guarantee. If you don't see 10x your membership value in the first year, we'll refund you 100% of your membership fees plus toss in an extra $1,000 for the hassle. So you can learn more and apply at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and look forward to seeing you again next Friday.